Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
We're going to continue our reflections on the different marks of charity according to St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, the 11th mark of love is what we're going to discuss today. It's found in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, where the apostle says that love rejoices with the truth. The Greek word is aletheia, which means truth. Truth is defined as that which conforms to reality or conformity or agreement of the mind and reality. When we spoke about the attribute of truth ascribed to God a while ago in one of our reflections, we said that there are three kinds of truth. There's ontological truth, such truth in the object. There's logical truth, so when my mind is in tune with reality. And there's moral truth, when my behavior corresponds to how I was created to live. The opposite of logical truth is error. The opposite of moral truth is falsehood. For example, the devil is ontologically good, because he was created good by the good creator. But he's morally evil because he chose not to live according to the truth. He chose not to live according to reality as God had created it and as God had created him. As a side note to that, we've probably mentioned it before as well, the problem with Adam and Eve in the garden wasn't that they wanted to be like God. The problem was that they wanted to be like God without God. They wanted to refashion reality by setting aside the Creator and His commandments, and all they did was distort and mar reality and themselves and us in the process. That's essentially what our Western culture has been doing for three quarters or so of a century now, sidelining the Creator and His commandments and distorting and losing touch with reality in the process. Saying that love rejoices with the truth means, first of all, that I am open to the truth. Truth about reality, the truth about God, the truth about myself, truth about how I'm supposed to live in God's eyes. True love is open to the truth. And actually, St. Paul goes a step further. He says in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, he says that to refuse to love the truth is to refuse to be saved, he says. So truth is intimately tied not just to reality, but to salvation as well. Rejecting the truth means rejecting salvation. And that makes sense, since our Lord says of himself, he calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, right? John 14:6. If you reject the truth and the author of truth, then truth cannot save you. St. John makes this contrast very clear in his writing. For example, our Lord calls himself the light of the world in John 8:12. And John 3:20-21, St. John says, everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may clearly be seen that his deeds have been done in God. So if you reject the light, if you reject the truth, you reject salvation, you reject eternal life, essentially because you reject God himself as the devil did. Saying love rejoices with the truth means that love rejoices in goodness. When you contrast that with the previous mark of charity, that love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, you understand here that truth mainly refers to moral truth, to truthful, virtuous behavior. Love doesn't rejoice in evil or wrongdoing, but rejoices in good, virtuous behavior. Love rejoices when other people live rightly and justly. As one commentator says, he said, because human beings live in society, to rejoice in the truth means to support all social initiatives that respect the dignity of the human person and the common good. So pro-life, pro-family initiatives, evangelization activities, working for just laws on a local and national level are all ways of rejoicing in the truth. In this regard, the apostle says in Ephesians 4:15, he says that we are to speak the truth in love. Veritas in caritate is the Latin. So that we grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, says St. Paul. So we want to stand for the truth. We want to stand for Christ and with Christ. Pope Benedict XVI even wrote a social encyclical along these lines. He reversed that Latin title, Veritas in Caritate. He said, entitled the encyclical, Caritas in Veritate, so charity in truth. Charity in truth, said the Holy Father, to which Jesus Christ bore witness by his earthly life and especially by his death and resurrection, is the principal driving force behind the authentic development of every human person and of all humanity. It is a force, says Pope Benedict, that has its origin in God, eternal love, and absolute truth. Each person finds his good by adherence to God's plan for him in order to realize it fully. In this plan, he finds his truth, and through adherence to this truth, he becomes free. That's how Pope Benedict opens his encyclical. And then at paragraph 3, he says this. It's a little long, but it is worth quoting. He says, "Truth is the light that gives meaning to and value to charity. That light is both the light of reason and the light of faith, through which the intellect attains to the natural and supernatural truth of charity. It grasps its meaning as gift, acceptance, and communion." And the next lines are very important. He says, "Without truth, charity degenerates into sentimentality. Love becomes an empty shell to be filled in an arbitrary way," said Pope Benedict. It's a good picture of where we are right now in our culture and in the West, right? Then the Holy Father says, in a culture without truth, this is the fatal risk facing love. It falls prey to contingent, meaning changing, subjective emotions and opinions. The word love is abused and distorted to the point where it comes to mean the opposite, said the Holy Father. It's so true. When you think about it, tell someone that the sinful way, that the sinful life that they're living, you say that it's sinful, unhealthy relationships, you tell them that those are bad for them, the behaviors that they're engaged in, they're offending God, that they're harmful to those people, that they tell people that those things aren't what God wants for them. God only wants their good. You say those things and you get accused of what? You get accused of being what? Hateful. Of being bigoted, of being a religious nutcase, you're accused of hate speech. Why? Because you're testifying to what God says is true, and what God says is love. So the world turns the opposite around. What God says is truth and love, the world turns that into lies and hatred. Love is abused and distorted to the point when it comes to mean the opposite, said Pope Benedict. Without truth, he says in paragraph 5, without trust and love for what is true, there is no social conscience and responsibility, and social action ends up serving private interests and the logic of power, resulting in social fragmentation. Only in charity, illuminated by the light of reason and faith, is it possible to pursue development goals that possess a more humane and humanizing value, he says in paragraph 9 of that same encyclical. That reminds us of another famous passage from the Apostle Paul, which we'll close with. St. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, St. Paul says this, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming, says St. Paul, when men will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth, and wander into myths. As for you, be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry," said St. Paul to Timothy 2,000 years ago. So even if it's unpopular, and especially when it's unpopular, we have to be willing to testify to the truth. We should aim, obviously, at doing it in a loving way, in a gentle, kind way, in a respectful way, but we need to do it. It's true that there's a time to speak and there's also a time to be silent, but we want to make sure that we're not appealing to that principle too often. Too often to the point where we're actually using it as an excuse to hide the light of the gospel under the basket of timidity or fear. That was the temptation of Timothy, which St. Paul warned him about. Love rejoices in the truth. It's also bold in sharing the truth, too, even at the risk of being unpopular or being persecuted. Remember, Jesus doesn't promise us an easy life. He promises us a blessed life, not an easy life. In this world, you will have tribulation, Jesus says in John 16:33. But then he adds, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. I who am the way, the truth, and the life. So let's ask Our Lady, who always lived in the light of truth, even when it was painful for her to do so, and it was. Let's ask her for the grace to embrace the truth, to rejoice in it, and to spread it wherever we go. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.